We'll be hearing some testimonies this morning about our Serve Week and the Serve text and theme was from Job 5, surprised by God. These words from a friend of Job speaking to him in the midst of his crisis, his affliction. And I remind you that this is the eternally true and trustworthy, inerrant word of the living God. But if I were you, I would appeal to God. I would lay my cause before him. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. He provides rain for the earth. He sends water on the countryside. The lowly he sets on high, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He thwarts the plans of the crafty so that their hands achieve no success. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So just to give the context, 2 weeks ago we hosted four youth groups from around the country, one in Canada and Michigan and Indiana and South Dakota. And we had about 60 kids and their leaders with us for a week. We had about 8 work sites for them to work on, and more about that in just a moment. But as we often do, we like to pause and just hear what God did, and especially were we surprised by God. So are you going to all three come up together? Yeah, that's the plan. Okay, so Micah Kortheis is going to start, and then Lane Vanderwaddy, and then Molly Honkoop, the coordinator, the host, the all things to all people leader. Bless you all. Thank you.
Good morning. This week of Serve had the theme of surprised by God. And if I'm honest, there weren't any huge places where I was truly surprised. That didn't mean that God was not present, however. Far from it. God showed himself to me countless times during the week through the sleep deprivation, and one of the biggest things he showed me was his love. I've been learning many things about God's love, but it is one thing to learn and quite another to see. One place I saw God's love on display was in the volunteers. So many people gave up their week to make Serve an amazing experience. They didn't know the kids were coming personally, and yet they still loved them as their neighbors from across the U.S. and Canada. And yet, this amazing thing is just a tiny reflection of God's love for us. Another place I saw God's love on display was in two friends. As I saw them interact with each other, I got a glimpse of what real biblical friendship was about. These two had such a special bond, it made one want to become friends with them. They weren't afraid to joke, but more importantly, they were there for each other. They discussed things together and prayed for each other. When one friend needed help, the other didn't hesitate to do everything in his power to lend that help, no matter the circumstances they were in. One of the biggest things, though, is that they weren't just friends. Their love for each other emanated God's love that intended friends to have. Among other things, God showed me a model of what good and a God-honoring friendship looked like. The biggest place God showed me his love was in my own life, though. The fact that God still wants to screw up like me, and believe me, I've screwed up once or thrice, is simply mind-boggling. No matter how many times I try to run away and do things my own way and end up flat on my face, he's still willing to take me back. That love and grace is something I have tried and failed many a time to wrap my head around. That's nice and all, but how exactly does he show his love? Many different ways, but for me, music is a big one. Lines of a song we were singing during worship would catch me every once in a while. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. It didn't even need to be songs we sang in chapel. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. Be thou my vision. The more I see and learn, the more God's love, perfect love, continues to surprise me. And that he knows me completely and still loves me is truly amazing.
As you heard before, Serve this year operated under the theme of surprised by God. Like Micah, I personally didn't have any big places where I surprised too much But I still saw evidence of God surprising everybody in different ways. First serve, we were given devotionals that we did every day in the morning. On the first morning, everyone was there. The devotional was over the verses Exodus 4, 10 through 12. To save time, I'll give you a brief explanation. It was when God called Moses in the burning bush, and Moses was giving excuses on why he was not adequate to serve God or his people, and God should call somebody else instead of him. This gave us an underlying thought of the week, that God can and does surprise us by making us strong even through our weaknesses. One way that I saw this was while Micah, Levi, and I were visiting work sites, I saw people that were afraid of doing things they hadn't done before, maybe hesitant to try something new or different. At the Summit House, or the Shine House by the Bethel Church, I saw kids that were at first a bit hesitant to get up on the scaffolding, but by the end of the day, they weren't even fazed by the height anymore. God surprised them by giving them strength to try something different and helping them get used to it, not to fear it anymore. Another way that I saw God making people strong through weaknesses was when the Cascade crew were all going a little crazy because of the lack of sleep. We barely had the capacity to wake up on time and get all our tasks done throughout the day. God still gave us strength through our many weaknesses, both physically and mentally, and brought us through the week without screwing anything up too bad. When there was weakness during serve, wherever it was, God always showed us that he has control and made us strong, protecting us and keeping us from any danger or accidents. Even when we felt like Moses and thought we weren't right for the task, he brought us through it and helped us grow during the week. God and his perfect timing in our lives absolutely affected everybody in serve.
I want to start by saying thank you to all of you who helped in so many different ways. It takes so many people to make serve happen. We were able to accomplish a lot at the work sites this week. Cedar Springs, we had a trail rebuild and some brush clearing. A lot of students on there, they fill out evaluations at the end of the week, and I get the privilege of reading them all. And I was going through them this morning, and many of them said Cedar Springs was their favorite because it was beautiful and because of Cal. So we know that they enjoyed the relationship building. Many of them really loved all the work that they did at the Blaine Community Church, where we repainted the whole building and added parking lot stripes. Nate, the pastor there, was so appreciative of all the work that we did that he came and spoke one evening to everyone, just shared how much he appreciated what they were doing, and that he shared that the work that we did probably would have cost their church about $50,000. So that's a huge impact for them, especially for a small church that wouldn't be able to do it without our help. We also had the New Way Ministries. We're there all the time. We were at Bethel's Shine House and a few different homes throughout the community. A lot of the evaluations had different things as their favorite site listed, and one said specifically they liked one of the homes because there was no painting. The students liked seeing the work that they did, and they liked connecting with each other. They also had, coming into this week, we had a lot of participants who had a lot of really heavy things going on in their personal lives. So this was a really great opportunity for them to kind of step out of that and connect with God in a fresh way. I had one leader in particular who was so nervous about leading a small group because of everything that she was going through. And at the end of the week, she gave me a hug and thanked me for giving her the best small group ever. One of the things that helped them all connect was the fact that we took their phones away. That was a new experience for a lot of them. But on the evals, it lists how that went, what they thought, and most of them rated it very highly. One student, even on a scale of 1 to 4, gave it a 5. So we know that that was a good thing that we did. We were thankful for that and for how well it went. The serve director stopped in for a couple days to just support and see how things are going, and she really loved her time here, connecting with us and seeing how impactful Linden Serve is, and how much we can accomplish and how well this opportunity is for these students. We are thankful to have Mitch and Joel Sendi to come speak and lead worship. They did an excellent job. And many of the students wrote on there that the morning devotional time was really impactful for them. I'm personally very thankful for the Cascade crew, these guys and a few others who throughout the week just are behind the scenes making everything run. Even though they're running on very little sleep, they make sure that whatever I need, they can get it done. And a few Cascade crew graduates who came back and were super helpful this year as well. I wanted to thank you all for all of your prayers and support and for another successful year.
Thank you all for that excellent summary and some reflection on what happened. I'm going to continue that here, and we're going to return to this text that we had a couple of weeks ago when we started the whole Serve Week, and I want to reflect on some of these things as well. So, excellent. Thank you, Lane. Thank you, Micah. Thank you, Molly. Last week, Gary Viss, the director of our Linden Chamber of Commerce, posted an article about our country's 250th anniversary celebration. And in that article, he acknowledged God as our creator. He acknowledged our nation as being a nation under God. And down in the comments below that, someone wrote, "God is man's creation, an imaginary sky fairy. The Bible is fiction." Well, that struck me. If God is man's creation, if God is a figment of our imagination, then you would expect God to be more like us, to look and think like us, to be created in our own image. This imaginary God would not surprise us because he would be an echo of our thoughts and our ways. He would be quite predictable. If God is only our creation, then he would never surprise us or correct us or judge us. And of course, the God of Scripture continually surprises and confronts and transforms people in ways that we never expected, never anticipated, never would have invented if we were inventing this God. No human mind would conceive or create a God like the God in the Bible. Our God is unpredictable. He's full of surprises. He's always saying and doing things that are completely unexpected. And in fact, if you really think about it, everything that God does in and through and for us is an unexpected surprise. Everything. Anything good that God does should truly surprise us. We deserve nothing good. We deserve only judgment for our sin against him. The surprise is that God doesn't treat us according to our sins, that he doesn't count our iniquity against us, that he doesn't remember our sin forever. God delights in acting in ways that no one anticipates. What does it say in Isaiah 55? "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways." Now, let me just quickly recount. I touched on some of these things a couple of weeks ago. But just to remind us who this God is that we have not invented, because he does things that we would never have thought. So, when he chooses people, he chooses the least likely people, like Micah, like Lane. He chooses the younger brother of Jacob and Esau. He chooses Joseph, one of the youngest brothers, and has him become the prime minister of Egypt. He chooses, Lane? I already forgot who it was. I think he was the one who referred to Moses, yes, in the devotions. And that God chose this fugitive shepherd. Gideon, the least in his father's house. David, the forgotten shepherd boy. The disciples, fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary people. God chooses what is foolish and weak and what is low and despised. And he delights in displaying his power through ordinary people. So please don't think that God can't use you, that God won't use you. How many times do people think, oh, I can't do that, or I shouldn't, or there's somebody else who can do that better than me. Don't go there with God. He delights to choose the least, the lost, the lowly. God often works through weakness rather than strength. We think it should be the other way around, but think of Gideon's army when he showed up with 32,000 men and God said, no. Yeah. And how many was it reduced down to? 300. Yeah. Moses, I can't talk, I can't speak. Not me. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Christ crucified, the God's power made perfect in weakness. And of course, we spoke of how God delays. He's seemingly slow. Takes a lot longer than we would expect. And certainly any God that we would invent wouldn't be like this. Abraham, waiting decades for a son. Joseph, years languishing in prison. Israel, 400 years in slavery and bondage in Egypt. Lazarus dies before Jesus shows up, 4 days in the tomb. God's delays are never God's absence. Don't think of it that way. God is working. He's planning. He's preparing. And of course, God likes to bring life out of death. He brings Isaac out of Sarah's dead womb. Makes dry bones live in Ezekiel. Jonah coming out of a fish. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And what happened? God resurrected us. God raised us. God had mercy. Every resurrection is a surprise. Don't go with your human judgment about things. Look at how God wins battles. Trumpets outside the wall of Jericho. I mean, really. 300 men with torches. A shepherd boy's sling against a Goliath. And of course, the cross instead of a sword. The greatest victory in history looked like total defeat. And God turning evil into good. You get discouraged by the evil you see, the sin you see. But no, God is at work and what he's up to. With Joseph, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. The cross, again, same thing. God's mercy also shows up where you would expect judgment. And where, if we were inventing this, we might have that written in. But Nineveh, under judgment. And what do? They repent at Jonah's word. Rahab, the prostitute, delivered, saved. Ruth, the Moabitess, same thing, used of God and included in the lineage of Jesus. The woman caught in adultery, the thief on the cross. Paul, where you expect judgment and there's mercy. God delights in saving people, the kind of people that everybody else perhaps has given up on. And in all of this, God is also transforming suffering into blessings. No one chooses suffering. Nobody wants it. And then we get surprised with what God does with it. Naomi, Job, the Apostle Paul. And again, the greatest surprise, the greatest scandal of all. The Son of the living God, very God of very God, coming to earth as a poor peasant in a oppressed backwater town. And he refuses political power and he allows himself, while innocent, to be falsely accused and condemned as guilty and tortured and to die a shameful criminal. To the ancient Roman and Jewish imagination, a crucified God was not an inspiring invention. It's scandalous. It's weak. It's foolish. It's folly to think of God being an invention of our human minds. We would not have even come close to this sort of thing. And of course, God continues to do this. He continues to answer prayers above and beyond what we could ask or imagine. Paul prayed for his thorn to be removed, and God said, I got something better. My grace is sufficient for you. And so we read in Job 5:9, this theme verse, God does great things, unsearchable, marvelous things without number. And we did see it throughout the serve week. And I'll add to the list. But the first thing that we should be aware of is the greatest surprise of all is that everything that happened was a surprise. We deserved, earned, merited nothing that came out of it. Nothing good. We deserved only bad. One of my favorite stories was the very first day, Monday, the serve site in Blaine at the church. And the group got done there. And before they got done, a man was driving by and he saw this herd of kids all wearing the same shirt painting the church. And he stopped and he handed the leader a $100 bill. Just, he was blessed by what he saw and he wanted to bless. So he handed them a $100 bill. The group got done with their work and like maybe they had a little bit of time and they'd heard about this great Peace Arch Park. So there you go. Let's go over to the Peace Arch Park. Well, as many of you know, is very easy to do. They got on the wrong turn and they were on I-5 heading north and there were no more exits and they had to cross the border, but they had no identification. They weren't prepared to do that. Nothing. So they get pulled in and they get taken inside, hour and a half. Now they get to get in line and go south. Guess what? Same problem. No. Get pulled in again. Another hour and a half. They were hungry after that. And guess what? God had provided $100 for pizza. They were taken care of. God saw it coming. There's a surprise through the generosity of a stranger. The same thing happened another day. I guess a group was in a gas station and they were, a bunch of the kids were buying snacks as kids are wont to do. And somebody saw them again, their shirts, what they were up to. He paid for their snacks. Yeah. Surprised by God. Yeah. The kids on the job sites that were homes were especially, I think, surprised by the interaction with some of the senior saints and the older people, and were blessed by that intergenerational kind of interaction. There were deepening relationships that the kids experienced with other kids, with leaders, with church, with our church people. The Tuesday night group, on Tuesday night, they took all the kids to Bellingham for street night with the Bucket Brigade to minister to the homeless there. Kids were nervous about that, as you can imagine. And then they came back reporting how glad they were that they did it. It took them out of their comfort zone, but they experienced God's grace and being blessed to be a blessing. More surprises. Molly mentioned the Cedar Springs work site. The challenge at Cedar Springs for the staff there is they don't want to be working when there are guests at Cedar Springs. And the whole idea of Cedar Springs is to have guests all the time. And so they have these very small windows in which they can get their work done out on the trails and in the flower beds and all around the property. It's a beautiful place. Well, the surprise was God gave a four-day window of no guests at Cedar Springs. It matched up with our 4 days of having kids there. They had 3 truckloads of gravel that needed to be distributed among all the trails. The staff there said, given the few of us there are and the few windows we have, it would have taken us a year to do that. In 4 days, it was done. again, another surprise, and they were most blessed. And they mentioned the Blaine Church and the pastor there, and he shared after the blessing of all of this that next year they would like to send their kids with our kids on a serve trip. But there were more surprises. There were surprises in the what Molly referred to as some of the things going on in the lives of some of the leaders and some of the kids. And because they publicly shared it, I'm going to feel free to do the same. One leader shared that the serve trip was the anniversary of her husband taking his life. And she was there with her two kids. And she was a little nervous and a little scared up front, but she was the one who was blessed at the end. And another student got up and shared that a month before serve, he was driving and he hit and killed a pedestrian. Traumatic experience. Almost didn't come to serve. And at the end of the serve trip, shared what a significant impact serve had had on him and the difference it made. There were several others with deep personal kinds of situations being ministered to, being surprised by God, not expecting to have happen what happened. Now here's the thing. Surprises don't just happen at special events. We taste the kindness and the goodness of God every single day of our life. Every breath that we take. It should, at some point, give us pause. The likes of us being blessed in the way that we are. Everything that God has done for us, down to the most mundane, is a glorious surprise. Everything God hasn't done to us is a humbling surprise. All of God's surprises, they are cause for worship. They are cause for obedience. They are cause for a righteous response in the light of the abounding grace and mercy that we have received. We should recalibrate our thinking that this is not normal. This is glorious. It's grace. It's mercy. It's goodness. It's kindness. It's the steadfast love of the Lord. Every day, open your eyes to see the hand of God in every detail and how He has arranged it. And give to God your responsive heart, your repentant heart, the humble sacrifice of your will and of your energy, your time, your resources. Give to Him a forgiving spirit as He forgives. And, of course, loving worship. I come back to that text in 1 Corinthians 2:9. Take this to heart. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Let your love for God be evident in your awareness of His hand, of His presence, what He is actively doing. Let your love be evident in your faith that God is actually at work right now. Even in what you're hearing and how you're responding to it and what you're going to go out into this day and this week and be a part of. God is in it and at work and present and purposeful. And let your faith be evident in responding to Him, being open to Him for His good purposes. In fact, expecting it, watching for it, asking for it. This met with the new members this last week, and I spent some time talking about history, and It's not as boring as it sounds. And you know the phrase, history is his story. Human history is just the stage. It's just the platform, the foundation that God works from. And human history is really not about humans. It's about what God is doing through humans. And we walked all the way through it. We went 6,000 years an hour and covered from Adam and Eve to present day First Church. But the point that I wanted to drive home in all of this is, contrary to what this fellow wrote in his comment on Facebook, this is not a closed universe. It is an open universe, completely open. And it's an open universe in which God is actively present and working. As Francis Schaeffer called this is the visited planet. We have been visited by God, and he visits us every moment of every hour of every day of every year. Be open in your awareness of God. Be surprised by God? Or how do I want to reword that? Don't be surprised. It's God. It's what he does. Well, amen. Thank you all who made Serve possible. Every last one of you. And nobody had a small part. Every part was important. The prayers, the work, all of it. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for the unexpected, the undeserved surprise of your grace and mercy and love. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for creating us in your image. Thank you for redeeming us by the blood of your own Son. Thank you for showering countless blessings upon us every day. Even in those places where we aren't quick to see it or expect it or think it is, thank you for using the likes of us for your glory. And would you, Lord, open our eyes to see you and to see your hand in every piece of it. And continue to hold us fast. In Jesus' name, amen.